Welcome to Inside Comfort with Jerry Navarra from Jerome's Furniture. And now here's Drake Van Hooser.
All right, everybody, welcome to episode 5 of Inside Comfort. I'm your co-host, Drake Van Hooser, and we're here with Jerry Navarra. And we're broadcasting from Satellite Studios again today. It's a lovely day, started off a little cloudy here at the end of the week. We knocked out a couple commercials this week, and how's your week going so far, Jerry?
It's good. I went fishing yesterday.
Oh, you did?
With some old pals who are great fishermen. I fished with them years and years. And we had one of those great days.
Oh, you caught some?
Yeah, What'd you get? I started at 6 this morning. I was cutting fish and making stock for Shapino.
Oh, nice. There you go. What kind of fish did you come up with?
Most of it was rockfish, you know, deep rocks.
Right.
And then we were lucky that we went out and found some yellowtail on a kelp patty.
Did you take the kayak out?
No. We were, at one time, we were probably 35 miles offshore.
Whoa, so you went really fishing. All right. And then you got the trip coming up here soon, another fishing trip in June. So,
well, I want to tell you about the Shapino.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, let me hear it.
Real Sicilian.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had it, to be honest.
It's interesting. So this, I had more time, and I started at 6, and I showered and came down here.
Thank you for showering. We appreciate that, by the way.
Yeah, the cat was all over me. So the Sicilians say that you have to have at least one sculpin in the pot, or it's not going to be good.
And that's
the margaritas have to have. Yeah. If you want the best, you have to have Mexican limes,
that's right.
So I had 6 sculpin, and I made 2 batches of stock.
Yeah.
So we make the stock, and it's, you know, it's got heads in it, the collars, and the backbones. And I cut the fins off, and I really cleaned them. This is probably going to be the best batch I ever made.
Man, that sounds good. What else goes in it then? What do you put in there?
Well, my wife puts, to make the stock, she slices up onion and parsley stems. Okay. I didn't know them. She goes, no, you don't put the leaves in. That's too strong. You just put the stems in.
There you go.
And that goes in the, and that's all that's in the stock. That, and then you do have to work it for a while. You have to skim. You get a little bit of scum on the top.
Right.
Probably from any fin or skin or whatever. And then you have to, you keep skimming that off. And then finally there's no more of that. And it doesn't take that long, but, and then you have to strain it. You run it through sieve or, you know.
Cheesecloth.
Fabric, cheesecloth. Yeah, I couldn't think of that. Cheesecloth, but you strain it and then you have this wonderful broth. It would be kind of the same thing if you did it with chicken bones or you know, beef bones or, you know, whatever. So you get this really good stuff, and that's your base.
Yeah.
And then from there, you know, we freeze that, or it's fresh, and then she makes it from there.
Sounds delicious. It's a labor of love, it sounds like, to be
honest. Yeah, well, I like doing it. Yeah. You know, we do a lot of home art stuff.
Yep. And so we got you brought in a bottle of wine again from the La Jolla Winery. This is a Sangiovese. 2018. Tell us a little bit about it. Well, yeah, I can read.
Well, this one you can't buy with money.
Oh, okay.
What you have to do is join the La Jolla Wine Company, and you've got to go out and prune, feed, crush the grapes, bottle it, put the labels on, cork it. You got to do the whole 9 yards.
So you made this wine?
I did.
Wow. Oh, cool.
So
this is a treat.
This is, La Jolla Wine Company is kind of like a social group.
Yeah.
You know, for anybody out there who, you know, is looking for a hobby or, you know, they really like gardening or this kind of thing. Well, they're just really fine people. It's a fine group. So what we would do is we'd go out to the vineyard to work it. They'd have work parties. They'd start at 8 a.m. and work till noon.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then they'd break and have potluck lunch, and people would share wines and bring all kinds of great dishes in, and they'd have under an old pepper tree that they have there. They have benches, picnic benches, and then everybody would drink wine and have food. So it's a great group.
Yeah, that sounds fun. Make,
and they've won a lot of awards. They make pretty good wine. And that's it. You know, it's kind of a social thing.
Are you still a member?
No.
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 Yeah. But was this...
No, I may go back. I was trying to get him to go for broke and make... You know, I said, give me a row and let's...
Oh, you wanted to make some good stuff.
I wanted to go for the moon.
Why not? Yeah. To the moon.
Yeah. If you're going to put all that labor in, why not? You know, I said, you know, we got to fix the soil and maybe have just one bunch per vine.
Yeah.
And, you know, do it like they, when they make the $100 bottle of wine, do that. That's what I wanted to do.
Got too ambitious and got booted out of the
club.
Yeah,
and I got too many other things going to not do that. So they've been thinking about it.
Well, that's pretty cool. I didn't even know that existed, but that does seem like
something. Oh, it's really neat. Looking for something to get involved in with a lot of fine people and have fun. It's a phenomenal thing. And they have a website.
All right. Well, dang.
And
check that out.
People can join it if they want.
Yeah. All right. Well, today we've got a topic that also
going to talk about furniture, huh?
We're going to talk about
furniture. When we get around to it.
But all these things kind of actually line up with the topic today. I mean, all very labor-intensive things, and today we're talking about leather, and you know what really makes up good leather, and how can customers see the quality of leather, you know, when they're in the showroom. Along with that, we're going to talk about, you know, to give you some tips on how to take care of leather. Yeah, and so, Jerry, let's get started, I guess. What is leather? Simple question.
Well, we don't want to get too detailed on what it is. It's hides, right?
Yep.
Cow hides. Basically, it's cow hides. I mean, there are other hides. Sometimes it's water buffalo, pigs, you know, hogs, whatever.
Yep.
But in the industry, the better hides are... cows.
So that's what a lot of furniture is made from, for sure. And so leather, you know, being a natural product, it's got its own unique characteristics, and I think that's one of the things people really like about it. On top of it's the uniqueness, I mean, it's very durable, but not all of it is made the same, and so there are definitely different grades of leather. And so this kind of can cause some confusion, it seems like, you know, for customers. Sometimes you hear natural, all natural, you hear full grain, top grain, you know, genuine leather. There's just all different grades. And I think as a consumer, when you go out there, you can get lost, right? And so give people a little bit of understanding about, you know, the different qualities of leather and what they should be looking for, you know, when they're out shopping for furniture.
Well, you know, we're going to get into it a little bit, but, you know, people aren't going to, shouldn't become an expert to go out and buy leather. But I think the one way to shop is to close your eyes and use your hands, use your fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, the softer, the more supple, elastic the leather is, the better it is.
Okay.
So you can, I mean, that's really what you've got to work with. I'd say use your eyes and your fingertips and go by that. I think people would be better off if that's all they worried about.
So there's definitely, so going back to what I was talking about a minute ago, as far as the different categories of leather, maybe the premium quality, the full grain, the top grain, can you talk a little bit more about, you know, what is full grain leather? I think that's something that people hear a lot when they're looking at products.
Yeah, well, that's an industry term,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's used, I don't know where it came from, maybe the leather suppliers, but I think it's deceiving. So, you know, full grain really is natural grain,
right?
Meaning the grain has not been improved or made to look the same throughout. So, you know, basically in leather, the finer the leather, the better the hide, the less they're going to do to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fewer corrections, less sanding, less buffing, less finish on the top. It's just going to have, and the absolute best ones are just going to have a waxy, oily, penetrating finish that they put on it. and that's it.
Yeah. So more like, I guess a good example for people would be like if that, like a saddle for a horse.
Yeah.
Often
there you go.
Like a thicker, you know, more almost rustic looking rawhide type
of situation. Yeah, and most right? people aren't. I mean, it's not that commercial of a product because right. it's not as durable in that if you don't keep it conditioned.
Right.
You spill something on it, it's going to be like your skin when it's dry.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to suck it up.
Right.
And it's going to vary in color and it's going to vary in texture, depending on what part of the cow it comes from.
Yeah.
So some people, I'd say most people, don't really like that. They want it to kind of all look the same. They see that real natural look as an imperfection. But really, when the hides are almost perfect, they're gonna be in that pile that's gonna be made into a very natural finished product, and it's gonna have a lot of variation.
Mm-hmm.
But the hides are almost perfect to start with.
Yeah, I guess they're definitely, like you said, there's some people out there that understand and appreciate that and want that look. And then, like you said, there are more people out there probably who are looking for uniformity, and they don't really understand that a lot of the things that may look like scratches and creases and things are, they're, like you said, natural. I mean, it's because the finish hasn't been buffed away. It's not been, you know, treated to you know, again, to reach that uniformity.
Well, think about it. It's like if you go into a wood factory,
yep.
the lumber comes in one end. And it's rough cut.
Right.
And they will have, now it used to be done by hand, but now it's done by machines and, you know, optic switches and, you know, computerized, whatever.
Yeah.
So the lumber comes in and then they will cull around knots and wood that's diseased.
Right.
So they cut it into pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Hardwood. You know, it'll be stripped and whatever, and the computer will figure out where to make the cuts. But they get rid of the discolorations, disease, you know, whatever. Leather is the same way. So when they ship to, let's say, one of our sofa suppliers, they ship the hide. So if they don't ship pieces, ship the entire hide. I mean, you can tell it's a hide because it's got four appendages coming out that have been cut off. And so they're going to ship a hide. So that leather, depending on the condition that the cow gave it to you,
mm-hmm.
It has to end up as a full hide. So if it has, you know, sores on it or, you know, bites from bugs, if they ran into a barbed wire fence or they got in a fight,
yep.
you know,
or branding,
you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's going to be on the hide, and people aren't going to want that.
Yeah.
They don't understand the variation. So when it goes, after it's tanned, it's graded,
mm-hmm.
you know, into, and it's basically, you know, almost, you know, perfect or almost perfect.
Right.
And then down the line, you know, they might have five stacks after it's tanned and washed. They'll carry it. The people on the line will carry it to certain stacks based on the criteria for that leather factory.
And then, so the stuff that doesn't make it into that top tier pile and that, you know, maybe has quite a few imperfections and they need to sand it down. So that can be oftentimes what's referred to as maybe like the top grain leather. And so it's kind of the second piece. And so it still holds part of the hide and some of the tighter grains. But since the split layer has been removed, the material's far thinner and it's easier to manufacture and manipulate as well.
Well, clothing, mm-hmm. in clothing manufacturing,
mm-hmm.
It'll be, most of the time, it's top grain, but it'll be a thinner slice to make it more pliable and softer to the touch. But in our industry, it's going to be a bigger portion of the hide. It's going to be a tough. So the difference is, the very top part of the hide mm-hmm. has more tensile strength than the lower portion.
Right.
And if you looked at it very carefully, the lower part of the hide is more fibrous.
Right, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, more fibrous, and it does not have the strength. So if you buy an all-leather sofa, typically the top grain is going to be on the working part, the seats, the back, the inside arm, the front. And then the split, what we call the split, is going to be an underlayer, is going to be on the outside arm and the back of the sofa. Because once that's on there, it doesn't do anything.
Right.
Right. It doesn't move.
It's just
it doesn't get sat on, you know, whatever. So they can use that, and that's perfectly fine. I mean, you can get 100% top grain leather sofa, but in my mind, you're really wasting your money because you're putting the top grain in areas that are just going to sit there and do nothing.
Right, and don't.
So you really want it in the business end of the sofa. So, there's a remarkable difference between the top grain and the under areas as far as strength and durability. The under areas can't be wrinkled and folded, and they will not stand up to that kind of wear. For instance, one time I had a leather jacket that was very expensive. It wasn't entirely leather. It had leather portions, okay? And the leather wasn't, I really liked that jacket, but the leather wasn't top grain. I didn't know it. It was suede.
Okay.
So it was easy to come from the under because you wouldn't know the difference. And after I had it for several years, you know, it started coming apart. The leather started cracking and actually just falling apart. And it was, it wasn't top grain. So, you know, I was very upset because it was from a very well-known company, which I won't mention in town. And it was very expensive, but they probably didn't know.
Right. Yeah.
They didn't know when they, you know.
Absolutely.
The only guy who knew was the
back at the factory.
The guy who actually made it. Yeah.
And so a lot of those, that kind of second tier, or I don't even want to call it second tier, but the second grade leather, the top grain, these are the sort of leather too that they're often like will dye and smooth down the surface and things to create like a singular color and things. We were talking a little bit about that earlier.
Yeah, okay. So once they're tanned, they're washed. And they're put in stacks by grade.
Right.
Okay. After that, they're dyed. And then you have various dye steps. For instance, I think all of them are dyed to, as part of the washing and the stabilizing, to stabilize the leather. So they add things to, you know, to make it so it's not going to be all that organic where it's going to start to actually, because you don't have a problem with leather rotting
right.
or whatever, right? So they will add products to it, and it's aniline dyed. Okay, so even the best ones might be. I mean, the absolute best ones are not going to be dyed. They're only going to have a penetrating product put on it to lubricate it.
Right.
You know? But the next tier, and that's what you're getting around to, right? The next tier is called aniline dye. That's it. You know, that's what I learned 40 years ago. And aniline stain is an alcohol-based stain, but it's actually a dye. And the difference between dye and stain is the particles on a dye are absolutely much more microscopic than the color particles on a stain. Okay, so it's aniline dyed. And the better ones are going to be dyed, the real good ones are going to be dyed very near the end up color. But if you think about it, that really starts to limit, because you're guessing what you're going to need, right?
Yeah.
If the leather supplier is guessing what they need, and they're going to commit to dyeing these things to a color like, if it's going to be red, it's going to probably be a brown or a tan. And then that color would be used for brown, red, you know, maybe a deep tan or saddle, you know, a deep saddle. If it's going to be white, it'll be very light, like an ivory, you know, or yellow or something. So they've committed. And then the next tier is more bulk dyed, where they're taking out the expense of guessing what they're going to need. So it might be yellow, or it might be tan, or you know, something else, and it'll be used for everything, every color. It might be used for black, even though it's very light underneath. You know, the actual hide itself is light.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You know. So you have you have natural, you have aniline dyed, that's batch dyed, and then you have bulk dyed. And that's really the three. And but we're talking about top grain.
Right.
These are all decent quality leathers. They're going to be very durable. They're going to be breathable, so they feel nice. But that's where they go off into different directions.
Quality directions,
yeah.
And things, yeah. So, but you're going to see that's a lot of the furniture that's being manufactured is using this top grain. Then is what we're seeing in the industry now.
On the business end of the sofa or whatever it is,
the seating areas,
it's got to be top grain.
Got to be top grain. I mean, so in your experience, I mean, you've been at this quite a while. Have you seen the quality of leather increase or decrease over time?
Well, I think it's better.
You think it's better?
And the prices are better in the sense that in 1980, when we first started getting leather, the benchmark for our pricing for a pretty good leather sofa was like $1,200 to $1,500. Well, what is it today?
About the same, $1,200 to $1,500.
Yeah, yeah. And what has the cost of living gone up?
Exactly.
Doubled,
yeah.
At least,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and that has to do, again, with...
I'm sure a lot of manufacturing efficiencies.
Right. It's always that, because the factories have gotten more and more and more efficient. But it has to do with Asia.
Right.
You know, they make a lot of the leather, and they've gotten better. You know, the first set leather that I saw from Asia was probably in the 80s.
Yeah.
And it was awful. But they've, you know, they're like, it's like everything else they make. They've really surpassed most people in the world. And they make some really good stuff.
Now, you said something interesting, that you started selling leather furniture only in the 80s?
It wasn't affordable. It was high-end before. It was high-end factories that were making custom, you know, let's say, like we talked about custom order before, right?
Sure.
Making low cuts, meaning, you know, those would be the factories that offer you all kinds of choices, right? Whereas in the 80s, factories that were doing high production, where they would stack that leather, you know, they'd grade it and stack it and cut, you know, 20 of them at one time, maybe more, I don't know. You know, it depends on how homogeneous the finish of the leather was.
Right.
If it was homogeneous, they would stack it as high as the saw was
and
cut it. So, and then they'd make them, you know, you could buy maybe six colors, right?
Okay.
So they're doing multiple production of, you know, they simplified it to get the price down to where it was, I'd say, in the popular price range. And that's when we jumped in.
Huh. So mostly all then upholstered fabric prior to that then, huh? I guess I didn't really
We sold very little leather before.
Oh. Wow. I thought it was... Was it not popular? I mean, I guess I was just a young child at the time, so I don't really remember, I guess, what we even had at my house.
It's like...
80s.
It's like the adjustable beds.
Yeah.
Until we went directly to, like, steel fabricators. And started buying these things in container, where we committed. We go,
right.
We really think we can sell these, so we want to knock out the distribution chain. We're going to go direct to the steel fabricator, and we're going to commit to a boatload of them.
Right.
And it wasn't until then that we got that price. You know, before these beds were $4,000, $5,000, $6,000.
They were all really
good. And we got it down to, you know, like in the beginning, it wasn't as good as it is now, but it was like $1,500. You know, we got it way down because we were going direct, cutting out the whole chain.
Interesting.
But we had to make a commitment because, like, you know, you're committing for thousands of these things, and then what if you don't sell them?
Right. Well, absolutely. And it was really geared, I'm sure, when you know, towards obviously the medical market, they have
right.
No medical devices and things, but then. Clearly now, it's become more of a lifestyle tool
well,
for people,
you know what we sell them
yeah,
for.
Yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
What do we have? Like, the starting one is a mattress and the unit for what, $600
or something? Less than $600. That's right. Yes.
Yeah. Of course, we have them for a lot more.
Yeah. Got many tiers, but so let's get back to leather here. Let's answer a couple questions here. So I think there's a couple things that I know that I hear about leather, and we'll get your take on it. Common thing that I hear people say is that they think leather furniture is not comfortable. So Jerry, is leather furniture comfortable?
I have leather at my house. You know, I have one of our sets
right
down in our, we call it our game room.
Mm-hmm.
It's durable.
Yep.
It's easy to clean.
Yeah.
It's breathable, so it feels good. It's not, if it's polyurethane or like the Inagai, whatever, that's going to be cool to the touch.
Mm-hmm.
People didn't like that feel. But the lowest priced leathers are going to have a lot of finish on them. You know, they're going to be grained and they're going to have a lot more finish so that you don't see the imperfections.
Yep.
And those are going to be stiffer. The more stuff you put on the surface, the stiffer
right,
it gets.
Right.
Those are going to be stiffer, and they're going to be less comfortable. That's why I mention use your fingertips.
Right.
Because that, you know, your fingertips know more than I'd say most salespeople do. Our guys have been schooled. You know, we just pound information into them, you know.
Right.
Over and over, because you know we don't have sales, so they have to add value by offering good information,
yeah,
and guiding people into finding stuff that is a lot for their money, for whatever right level they're spending, to help them get the best buy for that money.
Yeah.
So our people have to know, they have to know their product.
Yeah, and we got to talk about, and that's why we always talk about, I mean, we go out of the way to try to build extra quality features in. And so, you know, while maybe leather can be a little stiffer, I'd say if you combine it with some dream seating, though, that it probably makes for a really nice sofa. I mean, you have it in your house, like you said, so.
Well, I have our Landmark.
Yeah, which is the...
I just love the feel of that leather. It's very comfortable. I'll tell you what, the litmus test for me is my wife.
That's
she
a good
goes,
one.
This is, I really like this.
Yeah.
I'm done, yeah. You know.
Whether you
I'm
like done it or not.
Yeah, because she is just tough on everything. Food, you know, everything. She should be the inspector on an assembly line somewhere, because she notices every little imperfection. Or if it's not like food, you know, it's hard to take her to a restaurant because she's such a great cook. She knows her stuff.
Yeah.
Has a great palate. And she's always picking things apart.
Hopefully she's not a listener of the show.
No, probably
I'm
not.
I'm sure she's
not. I'm not worried about that.
doubt it. All right, so that's kind of like a myth unbusted there. I mean, you can neither confirm nor deny that leather is comfortable, it sounds like.
No,
I mean,
I think
it is.
I think leather is very comfortable.
Okay, all right.
You're going to, you know, you've got to spring for top grain leather.
For the good stuff.
That doesn't have a tremendous amount of finish on it. It's not stiff. And when you feel it with your fingertips, it's supple, soft, kind of has a waxy feel,
mm-hmm.
And that's what you got to get. You got to pay the price.
Now, that's a good lead into the next question, because like you said, paying the price, it can seem a little scary, I think, probably for people to cough up that much for a sofa, but with leather comes durability. So the other question, I think, is leather durable, and does it last longer than an upholstered sofa?
Generally, yes. Okay. With leather and with other things, even fabric, you have to keep it clean. But it's easy to clean, right?
Right.
Just a damp rag that's got a little soap solution,
mm-hmm.
You know. So two things destroy leather. One is sun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sun destroys everything.
Yeah,
furniture.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, upholstery.
Your skin.
It'll destroy everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing is where you touch it.
Oh, like the oils from your body?
Yeah, I read that we replace our outermost outer layer of our skin every 28 days or mm-hmm. something like that, right? So we have products that we exude to break that skin up and get rid of it. That same stuff will destroy leather.
Makes sense.
It's a skin product.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Most people don't realize that. So you have to, whatever you've added to that leather, you have to get rid of
it. Take it off. Yeah.
So it can be done with, it's all water soluble.
Yeah.
Whatever you add to it. So you need, what I would recommend is a teaspoon of Dawn in a gallon of warm water, and just go over it and clean it. But you got to keep whatever, and the problem is some people, have that ability to exfoliate more than others. So it's like a time bomb that you don't see it happening. So the thing is, that you have to keep it clean.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is condition it.
Yeah.
It's just, if people would understand that it's just like your skin, so you have to keep it clean and then condition it.
Yeah.
And the conditioning products for leather are similar to hand cream or whatever.
Makes sense. So the, leather's also got some natural, even water resistance too. So, I guess when you compare that to an upholstered sofa, that's an advantage as well as far as durability.
Well, it's easy to clean.
As long as you're right.
Take a solution and you just wipe it clean.
Yeah.
It's much more difficult to clean fabrics.
For sure.
Yeah, much more difficult, relatively.
Now, that's interesting. That leads us right into our next topic, which is going to be a few tips on how to take care of your leather furniture so that it can last. And one thing I think, like you said, people just don't even think about when you're sitting there and your skin's touching your sofa. Whether you get up, you may not be able to see something, but you do need to take care. You need to wipe it down because there is something there. There's oils from your skin and things like that. So what are a few tips that you like to do to your leather sofa? Like you mentioned, with a warm rag and some Dawn, wiping it down every once in a while.
Or soap.
Yeah, and so. Give me your cleaning tips for leather.
Well, first thing is keep it out of the sun, direct sunlight. Maybe once a month, wipe it down. And
all right, so that's not something that people need to be going crazy because now you got
no. You don't have to. You don't have to be.
I need to wipe Tom's.
No, you don't have to be paranoid.
Sofa up here after he gets off of it.
It's like COVID, right?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Tom leaves.
I got Tom. We're.
Tom's over for the night, and he leaves.
Yeah.
So you're going to wipe down your sofa.
No, he doesn't
have cooties.
All right.
I'd say once a month. This stuff isn't. It's not like pouring battery acid on it.
Okay.
But you need. I'd say at least once a month, wipe it down and clean it, and then use your fingertips. And when it looks a little dried out or hungry, maybe twice a year, get a nice conditioner after you clean it.
Mm-hmm.
Put that on it, and I usually put it on with my fingers. I don't use a rag. I just pour it on and massage it in with my hands.
Yeah.
Because then my hands are nice and soft afterwards.
Yeah.
And just rub, and then you wipe it off. You wipe off any excess because you don't want to leave anything. It's not about the surface. It's about inside.
It's about getting in, just like your skin, like you're just about getting into like the pores.
It's like conditioning the pores,
leather, right?
Yeah.
And then, as you mentioned, if you're wiping it down decently, on the regular,
right.
Let's say once a month, even that, the Dawn or whatever you're using, it is going to naturally dry out some of the oil. So it is important to come back even and make sure you're always
conditioning. Yeah, anytime you clean it, you are,
you're stripping it down.
Soap and detergent are both going to cut oils, right?
Yeah.
You do the dishes, right?
Used Dawn and exactly.
Yeah, and you need to lubricate your skin.
So when you're talking about conditioner, is there anything that you recommend? Does it need to be like a natural oil, like a coconut, or is there certain?
No, my favorite that I've run into over the years is Phoebings. You can buy that online. You can buy it. It'll be in any saddle shop.
Okay.
I don't know if you'll find it in an auto parts store where they have leather products, but you will find it in a saddle shop. I've used Lexol, which is a really old, I'm not crazy about it.
Okay.
Okay, it didn't work that well for me. One that's kind of hard to find, but it's been around for a long time. You'll find it in the auto care section sometimes, like at Walmart. I found it there one time, but it's called Tannery.
Okay.
And it's in a spray can, and that's like a cleaner conditioner in one. I'd still do the soap and water or the Dawn and water thing, but Tannery is real easy. You spray it on. It's great for your car, great for shoes, and you know, and it does moisturize. But the Phoebings, I even use it on shoes when I'm going to shine them. That's my pre thing, and it brings the leather back incredibly. But the thing you have to remember though about conditioning, cleaning is a different matter. You always have to clean because, you know, one of the things that can happen is the oils from your hand or anything you leave on there can cause that finish to delaminate from the leather. So it needs to be kept. You just don't want any outside influence. You want to, you know, sit on it, but keep everything else off it.
So when you're cleaning and conditioning, I guess, you know, when I think about tips and other things we've given for like a clean upholstered furniture, for instance, I think this is probably one of those cases where somebody should always try it maybe on a non-visible swatch first to check, or are you pretty confident?
No, they always tell you that, but the Tannery and the Phoebings are pretty much bulletproof. And think about it, a lot of these products that are very commercial, they're usually like half strength. I mean, the moisturizer I use is probably not for home use. Mm-hmm. It's more of a professional use.
Yep.
And I didn't give you that one, but you kind of have to know. And even Phoebings.
Yeah.
When I first bought it, the shoemaker said, dilute it by half. He says it's a little too strong. So even that is more of a
commercial,
heavy duty, hardcore product.
Yeah.
You can use it straight. But actually, it goes farther if you dilute it a little bit with water. But the thing is, if the more finish your leather has, the less you need to do. You just need to keep it clean because it's going to take many more years to dry out.
Makes sense.
But and the more natural it is, the more you have to care for it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's a good tip. I think that about wraps it up. I mean, we've given people tips on what to look for, the finger test in the store, feeling the soft, supple leather. We've given them a recap on the different types of leather, how they're made, manufactured, what types are used in furniture.
I think one thing we didn't go into.
Let's hear.
Okay, so the leathers are graded, right?
Yeah.
And they're by imperfection, visual imperfections.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bug bites, fence marks,
right.
Fights, all that kind of stuff. All right, so, and remember, they're shipping hides. They don't ship parts.
Right.
In the garment industry, they can use smaller pieces. But in the upholstery industry, they're shipping the whole hide, okay, primarily. I'm not saying
makes
the
sense.
Other doesn't happen, but primarily that's what it is. So the more imperfections, the more sanding it's going to have, the more imprinting it's going to have. You know, like if you buy a belt.
Mm-hmm.
That has, let's say, your initials on it.
Right.
They don't carve that out. That's made by imprinting.
Yes, yeah.
So they use steam and a zillion pounds of pressure to imprint that grain. And the grain, from my experience, the grain never changed. You know, it's once they do it, it's there. So that hasn't been a problem. So the more imperfect the leather is, the more sanding it has to have, the more imprinting it has to have to make it uniform, and the more finish they have to add to it to make it uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the more they'll add more finish, it'll have more finish if it's bulk dyed. But again, I'd go right back to use your fingertips, use your eyes, and rely on those probably the most.
Yep.
That means you better see it and sit in it, feel it, and use your own judgment.
Especially if people are going to spend that much on something too. You want to come and check the quality, because I know I've seen people order leather sofas online, and you just, like you said, you cannot see unless you're right up to it.
You know,
the grain.
Leather's one of those things.
No, absolutely not.
You do not want to order online.
I mean, stuff, sometimes you get it and it I swear it looks like it's been printed out on a computer or something like
that. I mean, you could order it online from our place, but you better go in and see it first. And then after you figure that that's what you want, order it online, but you know the product.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I would not recommend that you order blind.
All right. Well, they know how to take care of it. They know what to look for, and they know how it's done. So I think we've done our job here for today's episode.
All right, Drake.
All right, so
and
thanks,
Tom.
Yes, thank you, Tom, again. Thank you, Jerry, and thanks everybody else for listening today. If you like what you heard, we're on our fifth episode, so give us a subscribe and a 5-star rating if you wouldn't mind. Podcasts can be found on all major podcast platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartMedia, just about anywhere you listen to your podcasts. So tune in for our next episode, and that'll be episode 6. Thank you.